Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 25th. What's that going to be at 6410 Highway 191? The story was written by B.K. Richter. A new business is nearing completion at 6410 Highway 191 in Midland, and with it is the plan for more development opportunities. The initial plans for the construction include a new McDonald's restaurant, which was permitted by the City of Midland December 1, 2023, and is scheduled to open in late May to early June. The business is owned and operated by an independent franchisee and not McDonald's USA. Laramie Investments, a Dallas-based firm, is handling the leasing of the available retail pad sites. According to Kirk Searcy, the Acquisitions and Development Coordinator, there are 10 retail pad sites in the plans for the area. Quote, "There are 16 acres available," he said by phone to the Reporter Telegram. "These are all retail sites, and national brands are expected to be in the space," end quote. No information about the retail development is available due to pending lease agreements. Severe weather possible in West Texas. Large hail primary threat. Tornado can't be ruled out. The story was written by Anthony Franz, newsroom meteorologist. Severe weather will be possible for parts of West Texas Thursday, especially in the eastern and northern Permian Basin. While overall coverage of storms will be low, any storm that does develop will be in an area that's favorable for rapid strengthening. Large hail is the primary threat, but an isolated tornado also cannot be ruled out. The greatest chance of storms will exist in the eastern half of the Permian Basin, where moisture levels are the greatest. Areas under the greatest risk include Midland, Big Spring, Garden City, La Mesa, and Snyder. The risk is slightly lower in Odessa, where drier air will cause lower storm chances. Even higher severe weather chances are expected outside of the Permian Basin. Areas from Childress north into the eastern panhandle are under the greatest severe weather threat. Overall storm chances will be slightly higher on Thursday than they were on Wednesday. Midland's chance of storms will be near 30%. Chances will increase to 40% as you move east toward Big Spring. However, they will decrease slightly, down to 20%, as you move west toward Odessa. All severe hazards are possible, including the risk of very large hail, damaging winds, and an isolated tornado. Be sure to stay weather-ready and have a way to get severe weather alerts and warnings. Take shelter if a warning is issued for your region. By Friday, the severe weather threat will end in West Texas, shifting to parts of Central and East Texas. Strong winds will bring very dry air into the region, allowing for bright sunshine to return. Wind speeds will increase to 25 to 30 miles per hour on Friday afternoon, and highs will reach the low to mid-80s. Typical late April weather will continue as we move into the weekend. On Saturday, morning lows will drop into the 50s, and afternoon highs will reach the mid-80s once again. Winds will still be quite gusty, coming in at 20 to 30 miles per hour. Winds will settle down on Sunday, and temperatures will cool off a few degrees as well, settling in with highs in the low 80s under bright sunshine. Serve Midland hosts tournament for Permian Warrior Partnership. The story was written by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Serve Midland hosted its fourth annual charity tennis tournament, resulting in a $125,000 gift to the Permian Warrior Partnership on April 18th and 19th. According to Serve Midland, the Permian Warrior Partnership is a veteran-focused, community-led initiative to proactively connect with all veterans and ensure access to quality resources and opportunities available in collaboration with the community. Quote, "We aim to cultivate an integrated, resilient, and prosperous veteran community within the Permian Basin by improving veteran quality of life, thus ending veteran suicide," a press release states. Serve Midland is dedicated to uplifting and empowering individuals and supporting the community by having fun and raising money to support various organizations and causes through tennis. The Serve Charity Tennis Tournament facilitated over 250 tennis and pickleball players at Midland Country Club and the Racquet Club of Midland. According to Serve Midland, the April 19th event included an exhibition match between professional tennis players Steve Johnson, Robert Farah, Amir Delish, and Alex Kuznetsov. The match was followed by a party on the patio on the greens of the Racquet Club. Midland County Sheriff's Office searching for female suspect related to theft. The story was written by B.K. Richter. The Midland County Sheriff's Office is asking for assistance regarding a theft. On March 7th, at approximately 3 p.m., an unidentified female suspect entered the Kentquick at 5800 East I-20 and began placing multiple items inside her bag while in the convenience store. The female then entered the Rustic Cafe business next door. She proceeded to the checkout area of the cafe and appeared to pay for an item she was holding. Before she arrived at the register, an employee had placed an apron on the counter, which contained approximately $450. According to the Midland County Sheriff's Office, the female suspect proceeded to grab the apron, place it inside her bag, and exit the store. She then got into the back seat of a black four-door Chevy sedan occupied by two other people. The vehicle's license plate could not be seen on the store cameras. If you have any information on this case and it leads to the arrest or case being solved, there is a cash reward offered. Please call the Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or use the P3 mobile TIPS app. No caller identification is ever used, and the call will remain anonymous.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Entertainment. Three things to do in Midland this weekend. By B.K. Richter. Midland College Campus Suicide Prevention Walk. This campus suicide prevention walk is scheduled from 9 a.m. until 12 noon Saturday. The walk begins at the Allison Fine Arts parking lot at Midland College, 3600 North Garfield. The West Texas chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and Midland College are sponsoring the walk. Donations go to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to help those in crisis. To donate and register for the walk, visit tiny.cc/3UIUXZ. You can also register your own teams. Participants can register online or on the day of the walk. National First Ladies Day. This event will be at the Bush Family Home, a state Historic Site, 1412 West Ohio in Midland, Saturday from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. The festivities plan to celebrate the role and contributions of First Ladies throughout U.S. history. All activities will be included with free admission. Self-guided tours of the Bush family home are available. An exhibit on the major causes that First Ladies advocated for, fun kids' games and crafts, First Ladies trivia, and more are planned. Sibley Spring Festival. The Sibley Nature Center annual Spring Festival is slated for Saturday from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. The Nature Center is located at 1307 East Wadley. This promises to be a fun, family-centered event with free admission and planned activities such as a reptile magic show from 11 a.m. until noon. Educational activities, the Texas Camel Corps, crafts, garden tours, guided nature hikes, and free donuts, courtesy of Shipley's, will be available. Organizations such as Texas Parks and Wildlife, the Petroleum Museum, the Museum of the Southwest, Keep Midland Beautiful, Scooter Dog, and Pucker Up Lemonade will be in attendance.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, April 25th. Texas energy industry hiring booms. PBPATXOGA site benefits for average people. March was a very healthy month for oil field hiring in Texas and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, and Texas Oil and Gas Association say it bodes well for the future. The oil and gas industry in the Permian Basin, both in Texas and New Mexico, continues to set new highs, whether that be through production and emissions reductions or through employment. PBPA President Ben Shepherd said, "I am so proud to be part of and to get to represent an industry that improves people's lives directly and indirectly around the world." TXOGA President Todd Staples said March's growth of 4,500 upstream exploration and production jobs, as reported by the Texas Workforce Commission, was the biggest since June 2011. Since the COVID low point in September 2020, Staples said, months of increase in upstream oil and gas employment in Texas have outnumbered months of decrease by 33-9. In that time, the industry has added 39,500 Texas upstream jobs for an average growth of 940 jobs a month, he said. March's historic increase is a result of this industry's commitment to ensuring that American energy leadership's home base continues to be here in the Lone Star State. These job gains mean economic growth for Texas communities and families, energy security for the United States, and much-needed stability for our trading partners around the globe. Texas employers in oil and gas, natural gas, paid an average salary of over $124,000 in 2023. What a TikTok ban in the U.S. could mean for you. No, TikTok will not suddenly disappear from your phone, nor will you go to jail if you continue using it after it is banned. After years of attempts to ban the Chinese-owned app, including by former President Donald Trump, a measure to outlaw the popular video-sharing app has won congressional approval and is on its way to President Biden for his signature. The measure gives Beijing-based parent company ByteDance 9 months to sell the company, with a possible additional 3 months if a sale is in progress. If it doesn't, TikTok will be banned. So what does this mean for you, a TikTok user, or perhaps the parent of a TikTok user? Here are some key questions and answers. When does the ban go into effect? The original proposal gave ByteDance just 6 months to divest from its U.S. subsidiary. Negotiations lengthened it to 9. Then, if the sale is already in progress, the company will get another 3 months to complete it. So it would be at least a year before a ban goes into effect. But with likely court challenges, this could stretch even longer, perhaps years. TikTok has seen some success with court challenges in the past, but it has never sought to prevent federal regulation from going into effect. What if I already downloaded it? TikTok, which is used by more than 170 million Americans, most likely won't disappear from your phone even if an eventual ban does take effect. But it would disappear from Apple and Google apps stores, which means users won't be able to download it. This would also mean that TikTok wouldn't be able to send updates, security patches, and bug fixes. And over time, the app would likely become unusable, not to mention a security risk. But surely there are turnarounds? Teenagers are known to circumvent parental controls and bans when it comes to social media, so dodging the U.S. government's ban is certainly not outside the realm of possibilities. For instance, users could try to mask their location using a VPN or virtual private network, use alternative app stores, or even install a foreign SIM card into their phone. But some tech savvy is required, and it's not clear that will or won't work. More likely, users will migrate to another platform such as Instagram, which has a TikTok-like feature called Reels, or YouTube, which has incorporated vertical short videos in its feed to try to compete with TikTok. Often such videos are taken directly from TikTok itself. The popular creators are likely to be found on other platforms as well, so you'll probably be able to see the same stuff. The TikTok bill relies heavily on the control that Apple and Google maintain over their smartphone platforms because the bill's primary mechanism is to direct Apple and Google to stop allowing the TikTok app on their respective app stores, said Dean Ball, a research fellow with the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Such a mechanism might be much less effective in the world envisioned by many advocates of antitrust and aggressive regulations against the large tech firms. Should I be worried about using TikTok? Lawmakers from both parties, as well as law enforcement and intelligence officials, have long expressed concerns that Chinese authorities could use ByteDance to hand over data of the 170 million Americans who use TikTok. The worry stems from a set of Chinese national security laws that compel organizations to assist with intelligence gathering, which ByteDance would likely be subject to, and other far-reaching ways the country's authoritarian government exercises control. Data privacy experts say, though, that the Chinese government could easily get information on Americans in other ways, including through commercial data brokers that sell or rent personal information. Lawmakers and some administration officials have also expressed concerns that China could potentially direct or influence ByteDance to suppress or boost TikTok content that are favorable to its interests. TikTok, for its part, has denied assertions that it could be used as a tool of the Chinese government. The company has also said it has never shared U.S. data with Chinese authorities and won't do so if it is asked. MCH to sign on several OC College School of Health and Sciences graduates. Medical Center Hospital and Odessa College are hosting a spring signing day at 10 a.m. April 25th in the Salisbury Campus Center Zant Room on the OC campus. MCH will be signing on several student graduates from the School of Health and Sciences at Odessa College, which includes 60 nurses, 11 RNs, 5 LVNs, 5 surgical technologists, and 1 radiologic technologist. MCH and OC are proud to continue their strong partnership in helping educate, develop, and retain the best healthcare employees in the Permian Basin. Local veteran shows unwavering devotion to U.S. flag at Veterans Clinic. Rain or shine each morning, U.S. Marine veteran Richard Duran makes his way to the Hobbs VA outpatient clinic with a sense of duty guiding his steps. His simple but meaningful task to gently unfurl Old Glory and respectfully send it up the clinic's flagpole. For veterans like Duran, their dedication runs deep as a steadfast symbol of their unwavering commitment to their country. The day the Hobbs VA clinic opened up, I saw there was a need for someone to take the flag down every day, said Duran. I volunteered immediately and was able to bring my grandson along to teach him the meaning of the flag and what it symbolizes for veterans today. The Hobbs VA outpatient clinic relocated to a larger, new location on North Turner Street in 2021. In addition to primary care, it offers mental health care, rehabilitation and extended care, woman veteran health care, and other support services to area veterans. Having served in Vietnam, Duran understands the sacrifices made by those who wore the uniform. He experienced the horrors of war, felt the weight of loss, and witnessed the resilience of the human spirit. For him, caring for the flag is a way to honor the memory of his fallen comrades and pay homage to the American values that his brothers in arms fought to defend. I take pride in my country because I signed up to fight for it, Duran said in a news release. The flag means everything to me. It represents a lot of what my friends and I did over there. Despite the passage of time, Duran's sense of duty never waned. His days are spent tending to the flag with meticulous care, ensuring it flies proudly in the breeze. Each fold, each snap of the fabric echoes with reverence, a tribute to those who served and those who never made it back home. Some people didn't come home, so this is my way of honoring them, Duran said. Every time I change the flag or see it, it keeps their memory alive in my heart so they are never forgotten. Duran's devotion doesn't go unnoticed. Patients, staff, and passerby often pause to watch him, their hearts stirred by the sight of a man volunteering his time, embodying the true spirit of service. Some approach him offering words of gratitude or simply a nod of acknowledgement. To Duran, these moments are a reminder that the bonds forged in service transcended time and circumstance. We see Mr. Duran as a patient and as a caregiver for our flag here, said Health Information Specialist Jessica Taylor. His respect and care for the flag truly, really demonstrates the patriotic spirit we have for our veterans. With the main medical center located at 300 Veterans Boulevard in Big Spring, the Hobbs VA Outpatient Clinic is one of 5 clinics operated by the West Texas VA Healthcare System. The West Texas VA Healthcare System depends on the goodwill of community members who wish to give something back to America's heroes. As a volunteer, you'll provide many important functions throughout the healthcare system and help make a veteran's experience there more enjoyable. If you are interested in volunteering, contact 432-263-7361, extension 4824. Or email wtxvapublicaffairs@va.gov or visit www.va.gov/westtexashealthcare/workwithus/volunteer or donate. Council makes changes during Tuesday meeting. City of Odessa Utilities Director Kevin Niles once again sent up some red flags about the Bob Darrington plant during Tuesday's City Council meeting, warning that if no repairs or upgrades were done soon, the city could see catastrophic failure. Back in December, a representative from Performance Services Incorporated spoke to the council about the plant and repeatedly used words like corrosion, non-functioning, malfunctioning, inoperable, uncontrollable, inefficient, degraded, unsafe, unrepairable, and crumbling. Niles reminded the council that after those discussions, the council earmarked $2 million in American Rescue Plan Act money for the plant, and city manager John Beckmeyer found another $1 million. At this moment, staff is working to get quotes to replace security fencing, installing safety hand railing, enhancing multiple cranes, and rebuilding the grid removal system that hasn't worked for 15 years, he said. Now said the cost of the improvements will likely cost $3.3 million, and he anticipates the work will begin soon. However, the plant continues to degrade, he said. We had several issues with our treatment process that included down clarifiers, which allow for septic sludge to get into the aeration basins. Our aeration basins are rapidly degrading, and because we do not have great removal, we have lost quite a bit of capacity, Niles said. The maintenance team spends half of its time on the aeration basins, he said. The team works diligently on making repairs, but it's becoming harder and harder to maintain daily operations, Niles said. It's entirely possible the city could receive more violations from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality because the plant can't produce good microorganisms to help digest the waste, and the plant continues to have high ammonia and concentrates, Niles said. He and operations manager Melissa Looney asked the council to work with city management to find some funding. Looney quit her position with the city last May but resumed her old duties in February. In her resignation letter, she cited stress, not enough employees, leaving more work for me, pay for my employees, underappreciated. On Wednesday morning, she said via text she came back because she loves the plant and her employees. I think we both learned some stuff in my absence. I really just need this plant fixed, she said. Then council member Chris Haney asked Niles Tuesday night if he was saying they need to shut down the plant. Niles said no, but the plant can't continue to operate with technology from the 70s. Niles told Mayor Javier Hoven he doesn't believe the plant would last the 7 years it would take to design and open a new one. However, there are technologies that can be put into place in the existing plant, he said. It would be at least a couple of years before the plant could place a bond on the ballot. The city could place a bond on the ballot. If that was the route the council chose to go, Hoven said. There would have to be a lengthy education process, he said. Now said there are some companies that could come in to educate the council on other funding options. A new plant would cost $500 million, Niles said. Council member Steve Thompson recommended the city do what it needs to do right now to make the repairs while simultaneously making plans for a new plant. The city is growing and it's time to pay the fiddler, he said. I think we need to be proactive here and maybe do a couple of things at the same time, not just putting a Band-Aid on it, then walking away from it and leave it for another council to fix. That's what's been happening in the past, Thompson said. Niles agreed. I see it in three different phases. The first phase is the ARPA funds, getting those PRPA funds utilized, and getting the safety measures taken care of immediately. The second phase is redoing the current plant with as much water and technologies that we possibly can, basically keep it viable for the next 15 to 20 years, and then the final phase would be a new treatment plant, Miles said. The council gave Niles permission to go forward with that plan. Also on Tuesday, the Council discussed a memorandum of understanding for the development and financing of the city's new 140,000-square-foot multi-use sports complex and surrounding fields. The cost of the park, which will be located near Fadre and Yukon on 100 acres donated by the Bell family, is expected to be about $80 million. According to materials provided to the council, the Nonprofit Sports Foundation of Texas will ground lease the property from the city for the development and financing of the park for a period of 99 years at a cost of $1 per year. At the same time, the Centurion Foundation, a Georgia nonprofit, will sublease the property at $1 per year and then lease it back to the city, with the base rent being decided prior to closing. The materials indicate the park may be financed by the issuance of tax-exempt and payable lease rental revenue bonds. The park will be developed by Sports Med Properties and operated by Rad Sports. Its construction is expected to take 18 months. In addition, the council agreed to provide additional raises for Odessa Fire Rescue crews following a salary study conducted by the department. According to materials provided to the council, in order to offer a competitive salary and solve compression issues, OFR needs an extra $458,545 this year and will need more than $1 million annually in the coming years. City Manager John Beckmeyer indicated there is a $7.6 million left in federal COVID relief funds, and they'll be used for the adjustments. In other action, the council gave Parks and Recreation Director Max Reyes permission to continue exploring the possibility of partnering with the National Fitness Campaign to build an outdoor fitness court. The council agreed such a project would help improve the quality of life in Odessa. Hired the Navarro Group for $50,000 to plan Firecracker Fandango, Dia de los Muertos, and the Christmas Parade and Festival. Entered into a $595,000 contract with the YMCA for the daily operations of the city's aquatic facilities. Passed a resolution that will give $250,000 to Special Olympics Texas. Agreed to install lighting at Salinas Park for $57,628. Discussed renovating the Ratliff Ranch driving range for $981,471. The landing area would be renovated, greens would be elevated, and the teeing area would be widened 100 feet, and netting would be added on both sides of the driving route. The project would take less than 3 months. Discussed banning e-cigarettes within 50 feet of city building entrances. Discussed awarding a $12.2 million contract to Reese Albert Incorporated for reconstructing a 1.2 miles of Crane Avenue. The contract would also include replacing 5,500 linear feet of water lines and 20 manhole covers. Abbott appoints three to Texas Municipal Retirement System Board of Trustees. Governor Greg Abbott has appointed Tommy Gonzalez and Roel Roy Rodriguez, P.E., to the Texas Municipal Retirement System Board of Trustees for terms to expire on February 2029. Additionally, the governor has appointed Tricia Mirabel, a term set to expire on February 1, 2027. The board oversees the Texas Municipal Retirement System, which is responsible for providing a secure retirement benefit plan for eligible employees of more than 800 cities. Tommy Gonzalez of Midland is the city manager for Midland. Gonzalez previously served as El Paso city manager from 2014 to 2023, where he earned the Baldrige Foundation E. David Spong Lifetime Leadership Award in 2022. He helped El Paso earn various awards, including the All-America City Award and Texas Award for Performance Excellence. Additionally, as Irving City Manager from 2006 to 2013, he helped the city earn the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award and Texas Award for Performance Excellence. Gonzalez holds leadership roles on several boards and has received recognition for economic and public sector excellence, is a black belt in Lean Six Sigma, and served in the U.S. Army and retired as a lieutenant colonel. Gonzalez received a Bachelor of Science from East New Mexico University and Master of Public Administration from Texas Tech University. Tricia Mirabelle of Cedar Park is a commander with the Pflugerville Police Department. She is president and board member of Blue Guardian of Pflugerville, a volunteer law enforcement liaison for ACES International, and member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. Additionally, she is a Woman of Leadership subcommittee member for the Texas Police Chiefs Association. Mirabelle received a Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice and Sociology from Texas State University and Master of Science in Leadership and Management in Criminal Justice from Sam Houston State University. Additionally, she will receive her Certified Public Manager designation through Texas State University this summer. Roel Royal Rodriguez, P.E., of McAllen is the city manager for McAllen. He is a member of the Texas City Managers Association, TCMA, and Region 10 president for TCMA. He is a member of the American Society of Civil Engineers, Rio Grande Drainage Subcommittee, Rio Grande Valley Metropolitan Planning Organization, and South Texas College Public Administration Advisory Council. He is a former director of the Lower Rio Grande Water Committee and former gubernatorial appointee to the Texas Municipal Retirement System Board of Trustees, where he twice held the position of chairman between 2005 and 2018. Additionally, he serves in multiple roles on Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church. Rodriguez received a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from Texas A&M Kingsville and Master of Public Administration from the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. OC to stage Much Ado About Nothing. Shakespeare's romantic comedy, Much Ado About Nothing, hits the boards at Odessa College's Globe Theater in previews at 6 p.m. April 25th to 26th. Previews are free. Performances are at 7 p.m. April 27th and 6 p.m. April 28th and 7 p.m. May 2nd, May 3rd, and May 4th. Tickets are $20. Odessa College Theater Director Aaron Gantz said no reservations are needed for previews. The show's runtime is about 2 hours, 15 minutes, and there is an intermission. Gantz said he has been working with the culinary school at OC to create culinary concessions that will be included with the price of the ticket. To reserve a ticket, visit muchado.brownpapertickets.com and select the show date you'd like to attend. Seating is highly limited. They will craft creative bites, one savory, one sweet, and a special drink concoction that is themed to the show. Because of me, I want live theater to be a delight to the senses, to be something that's filled with song and language and movement and taste. It matters to me from the moment you walk through our gates that we're at least paying attention to all the aspects of the experience. This is a big step for us because we have a tremendous culinary department. Like this theater, I think it's still a secret, and Odessa, they don't yet know how much value there is in the grab and go and our au cuisine, Gantz said. He added that they are working with Cooks for a Cause. It's the beginning of this relationship because in the fall, we're going to start something called Opening Night at O Cuisine, where we'll have a select amount of VIP tickets that include a sit-down dinner over there, Gantz said. For Much Ado About Nothing, they will have culinary concessions. They are naming it, not quite after Shakespeare's favorite bar, the Blue Boar. They will call theirs the Blue Wrangler. If you come here, you're going to be entertained. You're going to be fed, surprised, Gantz said. The play has a cast of 11, and every single member is double cast, and their roles are widely different. Someone could play a love interest and an absent-minded professor type. Another could play a bad guy and a happy-go-lucky police officer. To me, this is Shakespeare's greatest ever romantic comedy that he wrote, and he was writing it at the same time as Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet. This is the peak of his powers. It is the best of what romantic comedy wants to be. The play will have a narrator that has been created for the show. Her name is Elena Galindo, and she will serve as a bridge between the audience and the world of Shakespeare. The cast includes a mixture of OC family, faculty, staff, high school students, and community members. Gantz said everyone has natural ability, so it's just about putting the right directors, choreographers, or musical directors in front of them. The requirement here is that people are hungry to unlock their potential. For people who hadn't had the experience of Shakespeare, I met with each of them for multiple hours before rehearsal began, an hour-long session here, another hour-long session here, there in the weeks leading up to the rehearsal. And we sat down and went through all the language that it was all accessible, Gantz said. This will be the first time in 10 years that Gantz has directed Much Ado About Nothing. He chose it because it's an absolute celebration. For me, coming down here, getting a chance to be the director of the Globe, getting a chance to do Shakespeare in this building, I wanted something that you could feel the rejoicing of that, he said. Gantz added that they are working with wonderful local choreographers, Amanda Lopez and Diego Mata. They have also flown in a friend of Gantz, Chris Lang, to help with lighting design, helping actors with the play's language. His advice to playgoers is don't leave at halftime no matter what. What comes after intermission is unforgettable in terms of comedy, in terms of love, Gantz said. He added that the play is wonderful in the first half and sets up all the relationships, but the payoffs begin instantaneously in the second half, so don't miss out. Don't leave at intermission, biggest advice I can give as a director, Gantz said. United Supermarkets and Market Street donate more than 50,000 pounds of apples across Texas and New Mexico. West Texas Food Bank receives 4,860 pounds of apples. On Wednesday, United Supermarkets and Market Street donated 4,860 pounds of apples to the West Texas Food Bank as part of the Take a Bite Out of Hunger program. This donation is part of a larger donation of more than 50,000 pounds of apples across Texas and New Mexico. For 14 years, the United family has partnered with First Fruits to continue the Take a Bite Out of Hunger program. During that time, the two companies have donated more than 600,000 pounds of apples and fed more than 167,000 families, a news release said. The United family feels very blessed to be in the position to make these donations for the 14th year in a row. Joseph Bunting, Produce Business Director for the United Family, said in the release, "We know just how important donations of fresh produce can be for food banks and their clients. We are so thankful for this partnership with First Fruits and the hard work of our team members across Texas and New Mexico. This donation marks a continuing commitment to the United Family as original partners of the Take a Bite Out of Hunger program, sponsored by First Fruits Farm. First Fruits created the program to help the underserved while bringing attention to the problem of food insecurity across the country. Washington State has one of the largest apple crops this season. Amy Peters, Business Development Manager of First Fruit, said in the release, "We are proud to partner with retailers like United Supermarkets who participate in our Take a Bite Out of Hunger program to support apple volume movement from our farm to their customers while also investing in their communities to donate fresh apples to the neighborhood that are underserved of fresh, nutritious food. Cheers to our 14th year of partnership on this program. We appreciate the support." Odessan facing drug charges again. An Odessa woman was arrested on two first-degree felony drug offenses Wednesday following a tip she was a drug dealer. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the Odessa Midland Police Department Task Force heard Dion Ward, 49, was selling methamphetamine, crack cocaine, and synthetic marijuana, and fentanyl-laced pills from her home in the 800 block of Drury Lane. Detectives began to watch Ward's house and pulled over a vehicle shortly after it made a quick stop at Ward's house, the report stated. The driver admitted they just purchased methamphetamine from Ward, and the detective seized 3 grams of the drug. The detectives continued to watch Ward, and they saw her make what they suspected was a drug transaction at a hotel near Synergy, the report stated. They pulled her over for having expired tags and no insurance. Ward told detectives she had 7 grams of meth in her underwear, and they obtained a warrant to search her house, the report stated. According to the report, detectives found 7 grams of fentanyl-laced pills inside her home. They also found multiple drug sales-related texts on her phone. Ward was arrested on suspicion of 2 counts of delivery of a controlled substance. She remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on surety bonds totaling $50,000. According to Ector County District Court records, Ward was sentenced to 2 years in the Texas Department of Corrections for possession of a controlled substance in October 2019. She pleaded guilty to the same charge in February 2022 and was sentenced to 18 months in state jail. Technology leads to burglary arrest. A good eye for cars and technology led to the arrest of a 22-year-old Odessa man on a burglary charge. According to the Odessa Police Department, a French Avenue resident provided officers video surveillance from directly behind her house showing a dark-colored hatchback or small SUV being parked directly behind her house around 7:45 a.m. April 18th and the driver walking toward her residence. Moments later, the camera captured the same man returning back to his car carrying multiple items. The woman reported tools and a Louis Vuitton bag had been stolen from her garage. An officer realized the car was a red Pontiac Torrent, and he found a red 2007 Pontiac Torrent with a particular license plate in the department's flock camera system. He also discovered automatic license plate readers from patrol units had seen the car near Highway 80, a few blocks from the burglary, repeatedly, the report stated. The officer also discovered the car's owner, Leonardo Ramos, had been accused of stealing tools from people on Monday, and when looking at the body camera footage of the officers in that case, saw Ramos resembled the burglary suspect, the report stated. According to the report, when the officer called Ramos and said he'd been seen stealing the items from the French Avenue garage, the 22-year-old said he'd still had the tools, but he'd given away the Louis Vuitton. Ramos was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, possession of marijuana, and possession of a controlled substance. He remained in custody Wednesday night on surety bonds totaling $24,000. Argument over infidelity leads to crash. A 39-year-old Odessa woman was arrested Monday night after she admitted to hitting her husband's vehicle head-on with hers during an argument over infidelity. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a call around 6:20 p.m. Monday about a woman in a Toyota Highlander actively hitting multiple cars in a parking lot in the 6400 block of North Dixie Boulevard. Officers found a wrecked Toyota Camry in the 1100 block of East 44th Street, and a witness said the suspect vehicle went north and down the 400 block of East 45th Street, the report stated. The driver of the Camry, a 36-year-old man, told officers his wife, Gloria Arbrandondo, texted him to meet her at the Sherwood Park, and when he arrived, she pulled out of her parking spot and drove directly into him before leaving, the report stated. According to the report, when officers contacted Arbrandondo at her house, she told them about the argument over infidelity, and she advised that upon seeing him at the park, she was enraged and drove toward his vehicle intentionally, striking him in his vehicle. Arbrandondo was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. She was released from the Ector County Jail Wednesday after posting a $30,000 surety bond. ECISD sets full slate of events. Ector County ISD has scheduled a number of events for the end of this week and into next. Thursday, April 25th, 6 p.m. at New Tech, Odessa, 300 East 29th Street, Sextoration Presentation for Parents and Staff. Saturday, April 27th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Ratliff Stadium, ECISD Wellness Walk and Family Health Fair. Saturday, April 27th, 10 a.m. to noon at Lawndale Park, 9201 Rainbow Drive. Spring into Reading Bookworms Literacy Festival from the Education Foundation of Odessa and Chevron. Sunday, April 28th, ECISD Outstanding Teachers Picnic at the Midland Rockhounds Game. All of ECISD's Campus Teachers of the Year are invited to attend and be celebrated during the afternoon. Tuesday, April 30th, 5:30 p.m., Bond 2023 Oversight Committee Meeting, ECISD Administration Building. Tuesday, April 30th, 5:30 p.m., Volunteer Appreciation Mixer, ECISD Administration Building. Tuesday, April 30th, 5:30 p.m., Summer Spark at Wilson & Young, MS, 601 East 38th Street. This event is designed to let parents know what resources are available to students this summer to keep their brains engaged and fighting the summer slide. Thursday, May 2nd, 6 p.m., Sextortion Presentation for Parents and Staff. Online links to be publicized after the first presentation at NTO. Bookworms Literacy Festival Set. The Bookworms Literacy Festival is set for 10 a.m. to noon, April 27th at Lawndale Park, 9201 Rainbow Drive. There will be free hot dogs, book activities, and games. Obituaries. The first 500 kids will receive Evelyn a special Singletary. Gift. Evelyn Marie Singletary, a cherished mother, grandmother, sister, and friend, passed away peacefully on April 1st in Odessa at the age of 90. Evelyn was born in Gold Busk, Texas on December 28, 1933, to Clarence and Ruby West. A memorial service will be held for Evelyn on Saturday, April 27th at 10 a.m. at Crescent Park Baptist Church in Odessa. Daisy Marie Page Stevenson. Daisy Marie Stevenson Page, 94, of Odessa, died Friday, April 19th in Odessa. Graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. April 23rd at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Clydell Chapman officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Terry J. Neese. Terry J. Neese, 86, of Odessa, died Saturday, April 20th, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. April 25th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Randy Unruh is officiating. Carla Marie Mendez. Carla Marie Mendez, 21, of Odessa, died Saturday, April 20th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. April 26th at Life Challenge Church. Interment immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Pastor Smeller is officiating. Nolan W. McMarion II. Our beloved Nolan McMarion II left this world on April 15th at the age of 40. He was born on November 22nd, 1982, in Odessa. Viewing will be on Thursday, April 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. He is preceded in death by his father, Nolan McMarion Sr., and other extended family. Don Oren Forrester Jr. Don O. Forrest Jr., 88, of Odessa, passed away on Thursday, April 18th, in Odessa. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, April 26th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, 6801 Business I-20, Odessa. Pastor Jimmy Braswell will be officiating. Linda C. Baker. Linda Carol Baker, beloved mother, wife, and co-worker, has gone to her reward peacefully in her sleep on October 31st, 1923. She was born January 12th, 1946.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, April 25th. Two daughters make clear whose side they've taken. Dear Abby, I have been divorced for 9 years. Before that, I was a stay-at-home mom raising four children. I had an in-home business, and most of the money went to our family's needs. My husband became an alcoholic 20 years into our 28-year marriage. After we divorced, my two adult daughters abandoned me because I received spousal support from their father. Whenever I let them know how much I miss them, the only answer they give is that they will resume a relationship when I stop taking the money. My younger daughter and I were close for years after the divorce. Then, all of a sudden, everything changed, and she ceased all communication. I used to have wonderful relationships with both. They have since blocked communication with me and moved far away from me and their father. I would love to have a relationship with them, but everything is a dead end. If you're wondering, yes, the money is used for living expenses, help, etc. Please help. Signed, Incredulous in Oregon. Dear Incredulous, so your daughters have decided to side with their drunkard of a father and are trying to blackmail you into submission. Please don't allow them to get away with it. Continue taking the alimony to which you are entitled and go on with your life. You can only hope that your daughters eventually will see the light. As I see it, you really have no other choice because, at this point, you are dependent on those funds to survive. Dear Abby, I am struggling with whether I am obligated to organize a party for our 50th anniversary. I was the main caregiver for my wife until a year ago, when I physically could no longer do it and had to put her in a board and care facility. She has Alzheimer's, is wheelchair-bound, and must be fed and changed. I still work during the day, but I help put her to bed at night. On the weekends, I wheel her to a park so she can get fresh air and watch kids on the playground. She perks up when she sees me, and I always feel good when I can get her to laugh about something her goofy husband tried to do or botched. We have 5 grandchildren close by, and she has 2 sisters and a brother and many cousins. One sister visits her often. The care facility is small, but they love parties. Anniversaries are important, but as time goes on, they seem to just come and go. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world to have shared my life with my wife. I would appreciate your thoughts. Signed, Party or Not in California. Dear Party or Not, if you think your wife would enjoy it, arrange for a cake and beverages and invite the relatives. Before you do that, though, ask her caregivers if it would intimidate or frighten her to have so much activity going on around her. If it would give you pleasure to do this, you have my blessing. However, please remember that it is not an obligation. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.